Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guest is Courtney Nagel, Associate Professor of Mathematics Education at Penn State Barron.
Welcome to Barron Talks on WPSE Radio, 1450 AM, 107.1 FM. My guest today is Dr. Courtney Nagel. Welcome here, Courtney.
Thank you.
Let me give a little bit of background about you. Courtney is an associate professor here of mathematics education, and you are chair of secondary education inside of our math department. You hold a PhD in mathematics education from SUNY Buffalo, a master's in math from Bowling Green State University, and you got your bachelor's in math right here in Northwestern PA from Edinburgh University.
Yes, I did.
Well, welcome here. Why don't you just tell me a little bit? I'm always fascinated to hear. So you grew up in this area. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your origin story. How did you decide to go, you know, study math and your path to get here to Barron?
Sure. Yes, I grew up in Erie. I attended Girard High School, graduated from there, and went on to Edinburgh and pursued a degree in mathematics as well as a degree in secondary education mathematics. And it was really just a love of mathematics and the impact that a lot of great teachers had on my life that led me down that path, and which eventually brought me back home to Erie. Mm-hmm. When I was looking for a job, I was really happy to land back here. My husband is also an Erie native, and so we really wanted to stay rooted in Erie. So Penn State Barron has been a wonderful place for me to sort of return home.
Well, that's great, because we wanted to keep this wonderful talent that is born and bred here to stay here as well. Let me ask you this. Was there a point in your life where you just knew math was for you? Was there ever an aha moment, or was this just something you always knew?
There sort of was an aha moment, and it was a little later than I guess I expected. In high school, I remember when I was taking pre-calculus and calculus. That's really when I realized how much I enjoyed mathematics. And I think it was because it was getting harder, and mm-hmm. it was really that struggle and that ability to come through a struggle and to realize how much my teachers helped me in that I realized it was something I'd like to spend more time doing, and began to think about both a degree in mathematics, but really ultimately I always knew I wanted to teach math.
Well, it is those times where we go through difficulties where we often learn and grow the most. Ironically, you know, a lot of people think it's calculus is the difficulty. The truth is, pre-calculus is often a difficult place for students.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about the program that you chair. Education, it's a specialty in mathematics. And why don't you just give us some background about what this degree is that you're in charge of, this secondary education in mathematics?
Sure. So this is a degree for students who are interested in teaching mathematics in grades 7 through 12. And so it is an education degree with a mathematics emphasis. One of the nice things about our program here at Barron is that it is a University Park program. Mm-hmm. So we benefit from their ability to offer 3 mathematics-specific methods courses. But our students also, because we're on a small campus, get to take their mathematics courses with other math majors. And so we really have a program that very strongly emphasizes both the pedagogical knowledge about how to teach specifically mathematics, mm-hmm. as well as really develops a rich content knowledge in the discipline as well.
That seems to me to be the big differentiator, is that in this program, not only do you learn about the pedagogy, how do you deliver this, you become a math expert as well. You get very deep into your field. Is that true? I mean, is that a requirement to teach mathematics at the secondary education level?
It's not necessarily a requirement. There is a state licensure test that will require you to demonstrate that you have a proficiency with the math content. Mm-hmm. And so in some sense, that is there as sort of a buffer to make sure that our teachers are strong in their math content. But it definitely is a strength of our program here at Penn State Barron that our students take the depth of courses that they take, and that they take them alongside math majors. And in fact, about 50% of our math education majors actually do get a dual major in mathematics at the same time, because it's only 12 additional credits beyond their major to actually pick up a mathematics degree.
I hate to say it becomes a little bit of a no-brainer. They might as well do it if they're there. And it doesn't take that many extra credits. So when we say they're studying math, I mean, and could you just talk a little bit, you know, for the audience about what that means? What might they be studying? We all know that they have to look at calculus, and we're getting a little bit geeky here. This is my area, but they have to really go in depth into things like being able to prove and understand mathematics at a very deep level.
Absolutely. The mathematics courses that a student who wants to be a mathematics teacher have to take really are quite involved. And so they do take a course in proof, an introductory course in proof, to understand what it means to give a logical argument and to make proof-based arguments. But they also take courses in real analysis, which would be a very advanced study of calculus and a proof-based study of calculus. They take courses in modern algebra, which looks nothing like the algebra that we see in high school. They also take some applied mathematics courses. So they really get both a breadth and a depth of mathematics content courses that go much beyond what they would ever be teaching in a high school setting. But yet that knowledge is what we call horizon knowledge. And it's really important in order to be a strong teacher that you understand the sorts of skills that you're setting students up for down the road.
I think it's got to be a huge differentiator in a graduate from this program. And I'm sure that they do well on passing the exams so that they can go in the state exams.
They do. They do well passing the state exams, and they are doing very well in terms of finding employment and finding teaching jobs once they graduate.
So let's talk about that. I mean, are there jobs out there for teachers? What's the demand? What's this landscape look like locally and nationally?
Absolutely. We're actually on the brink of a pretty major teacher shortage, both in the Erie area and nationally. And this is something that those of us in education are really keeping an eye on, because it looks as though this isn't going away anytime soon. So our students are finding jobs very readily, even in the Erie area. Most of our students have chosen to stay local, mm-hmm. and they're finding teaching jobs right here in Erie. So it's a very positive climate for a teacher to find a job right now.
So what's driving this shortage? Is it the retirements of the baby boom? Is it the fact that we need people with the content knowledge, all of these factors?
I think it's a complex issue with a lot of factors. And I think you've touched on some of those, absolutely. I think one of the things more generally that's causing a teacher shortage overall in all disciplines, unfortunately, is this sort of negative perception about what teaching is as a field right now. And I think that's particularly disheartening, because teaching is probably one of the most important jobs that somebody could take on. And so that plays a part. I think that we're seeing a particular shortage in the areas of math and science, because to be quite honest, if you have a degree in math and science, you might find a position that's not in education that has a more tempting starting salary right out of the gate. And so I think math and science are particularly hard hit, because those who are willing and able to pursue degrees in those areas can sometimes, you know, find a job that is going to earn them more money right out of the gate doing something other than teaching.
Well, I do think, you know, you hit on an important point. Society really needs to value more the importance of teaching. And it is easy to build that negative perception, because I would tell you, it's hard for me to know. You hear different things, and a lot of them are anecdotal, that there are too many teachers, that there aren't enough. Right. So trying to navigate your way through that. But I feel, you know, look, very confident that if you come out of Penn State Barron with a strong background in math and education, you've just got a lot of possibilities for you out there.
That's absolutely been our experience.
You are listening to Barron Talks on WPSC Money Radio, AM 1450 FM, 107.1. My guest today is Dr. Courtney Nagel, a star faculty member in our School of Science and chair of secondary education and math. So let's get back into the discussion. You have a classroom here that is configured to simulate middle high school classroom setting. Could you explain what that means, how it's set up, and what's the significance of that?
Absolutely, yes. So we have a classroom space that we modeled after the sorts of classrooms that our graduates might find themselves teaching one day. And so it looks a lot like a middle or high school classroom would look. It's equipped with the technology that we find in a lot of our middle and high school classrooms in the Erie area, including a smart board, including classroom manipulatives, graphing calculator sets. And it was designed to really give our undergraduate students a space when they were practicing teaching that was more authentic. And it has flexible seating arrangements so they can present lessons where students are working in small groups or with a partner and can collaborate in different ways. And so we actually use that classroom as part of our methods coursework in a pretty unique way. And that is that we have partnered with local school districts who actually bring groups of students to our campus. And our undergraduate pre-service teachers get to teach actual lessons that they prepare as part of their methods coursework to real students in our
campus. So that was my next question, because you have to simulate something that's real. And so you actually do it by bringing those students in here. And you obviously you observe this and give them feedback.
I do. It's been a great way for the students to sort of put the theory that they're learning in a methods course into practice. And so they get to put all the ideas that we've talked about into lesson planning and then actually get to try it out right away. And that's been a really beneficial experience for them. And yes, I get to observe and give feedback, and then we get to debrief about their experience and how sometimes the reality of a classroom situation isn't always exactly the same as what we had expected in planning, but how we need to be flexible and do the best that we can within those settings.
Now, do the high school, do the teachers as well give feedback? Do they observe this, the high school teachers?
They do. The high school teachers have been a great source of feedback for our students, even though it tends to be a little bit more informal, but they have a lot of expertise that they bring. And so it's always interesting to hear the sorts of response that they can provide as well.
Well, I think what you're doing, there's no substitute for experience. That's kind of the whole idea behind the open lab and learning that students and the philosophy that we have here at Behrend. So they also go out into the schools though as well.
They do. Yes, so they have field experiences, and what's nice is that their methods coursework precedes their very first field experience. So their very first times actually teaching lessons are in a little bit of a safer environment with their peers here on campus. But then they do teach in the schools as part of both their junior level field experience and their senior field experience or their student teaching.
I imagine a number of them are nervous as they go into that. But like you say, that first experience here on campus helps a lot.
It does help.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit. Some really big news for you personally. And that is that you recently secured a $1 million grant from the National Science Foundation. So why don't you tell us what the purpose of that grant is? There's a lot for us to dig into here.
There is. We're very excited about this. We have obtained a grant that is part of the Robert Noyce Teacher Scholarship Program from the National Science Foundation. And really what the goal of the larger Robert Noyce Scholarship Program is to address the teacher shortage that we mentioned in STEM disciplines. And so our focus here at Behrend is particularly to look at the math teacher pipeline, and in particular to focus on preparing teachers to teach in high need school settings.
Okay, so what do you define as a high-need school setting?
So this is actually a definition that comes from the Higher Education Act of 1965. And there's actually three ways that a school can be classified as high needs. One is based on a large population of students whose families fall below the poverty line. A second condition that can classify a school as high needs would be that they have a lot of teachers who are teaching outside of their area of training, their discipline of training. And then the third factor could be a high teacher turnover or attrition rate.
So when the students now, we're just getting started with this. So when you're bringing students into this program, they know that's part of the requirement then is that we expect them to work with and ultimately end up in a high-need school district?
It is. So this scholarship program comes with a service component. And so one of our undergraduate students who receives this scholarship is committing to service in teaching mathematics in a high-need school district anywhere in the country upon graduation. And so for each 1 year of scholarship that they receive, they are committing to teaching 2 years in a high-needs district.
Well, I'll tell you, the monetary amount surprises me. So why don't you tell us what that is?
Sure. So the scholarship amount is $22,500 per academic year.
Yeah, that is a great scholarship. I mean, basically covers your education.
It is. And really what we're hoping to do is to attract new people into education. And that's why, as we wrote this program, we did focus on a scholarship amount that would be tempting enough to make somebody who maybe hasn't given teaching a lot of consideration, to really make them pause and think about if they enjoy working with young people, if they're passionate about mathematics. Perhaps for one reason or another, they've been steered away from education. Mm-hmm. And we hope that this will at least allow them to stop and think about if this is something they might enjoy doing.
And there are, you know, I can say from personal experience, I see a lot of students, they think, oh, geez, I want to go into engineering or computer science. But when you really talk to them, sometimes they're just being driven by what their parents say or what, you know, the world is telling them right now. But they actually really are interested in teaching. And you've just got to, now you can put something out there that tells them and their parents that there's a great opportunity after they graduate.
It has definitely been our experience here at Penn State Barron that very few of our eventual graduates in mathematics education actually come in thinking that that's the route that they're going to pursue here in college. And so exactly what you're saying is they're interested in math, but they think that that means that they need to be an engineer or they need to be a computer scientist. And so I think this is one way that we can help them to realize that there are options within mathematics as well.
It becomes a found major, so to speak, which is a good thing.
Absolutely.
So there's more. There's obviously more to this, I'm sure, than the scholarship program. So is there additional programming? What binds these students together as they come in?
Yeah, so we have quite a bit of programming. Our goal is to really prepare these students, not just to enter into a high-need school setting to serve their 4 years and to move on, but we really want to prepare them to be passionate about their work in a high-need school setting. And it's our goal that these students will stay in those settings long after their service component is done. And so we'll be partnering them with mentor teachers mm-hmm. from local school districts. We've identified 4 partner districts within the Erie area that mm-hmm. we're going to be working with. That's the Erie School District, yep. Cory School District, Northwestern School District, okay. and Iroquois School District.
Oh, great.
So we're partnering with those 4 districts. They are identifying mentor teachers who will mentor our NOICE scholars through this program, provide some of their own experiences of actually working in a high-need school setting, and really help the students as they work their way through the program.
So does it start this fall?
It does. It starts this fall. We will be awarding the first scholarships for this academic year.
Have you already identified those students, or is that still in process?
It is still in process. The application process is underway right now.
Okay. So what, they apply to Barron and indicate this is their major, but there's probably an additional application on top of that for them to get into this program?
There is. And the program is awarded in the junior and senior year of a student's study here.
Okay. All right, so that helps a little bit. They're here, they get the last 2 years. It's a great incentive for them. So we've got to get the word out. This is part of what we're trying to do today. This is a great program and phenomenal scholarships and great opportunities for students after they graduate, and they'll help the Erie community after they leave here at Barron.
Absolutely.
So how, you know, for people who maybe don't understand, we say NSF, and that's a big deal to you and me. So NSF is the National Science Foundation. The process of getting one of those it's a competitive process, right?
Yes, it was very competitive. We started the application early last summer and had to write a very rigorous grant and go through a very rigorous peer review process in order to be funded.
And you didn't, you were the lead on this, but it took a village, so to speak. It took a team of people to make this a reality.
Absolutely. And one of the things that's so important about this project is that it is a joint effort with mathematics education and mathematics. And so there was a team of 5 co-principal investigators that put this together, along with myself. It was Jody Stiers and Pat mm-hmm. Kelly from our mathematics education program. And then from mathematics, we had Michael Rutter and Paul great. Becker also represented on that team.
Well, that's a great team. And that's the reality of research now and projects of this scale, is that you have to have a large team, and I'm sure it helped with your NSF application. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We're going to continue to talk about this because it's a great achievement and it's going to have a long-term impact. You are listening to Barron Talks on WPSE Money Radio. My guest today is Dr. Courtney Nagel. You talked about the fact that we have four partner schools, and it seems to me Erie is a pretty good test bed because you've got the rural and you have the city. Is that, you know, was that a factor in the grant?
It was a factor in the grant, and it's nice because in the Erie area, not only do we have several schools that qualify as high needs according to the definition that we talked about earlier, but they're very diverse as well. And when we wrote our proposal, one of the things that we emphasized is that we're really going to work with high needs districts that service both a more rural and a more urban population. And that's something unique to the Erie area that not all schools can provide to their undergraduates.
So do you take a different approach in the different schools? Are there different ways that you'll be applying this?
I think that the one thing we always try to emphasize to our students is that you're not teaching mathematics to students, you're teaching students mathematics. And so the students always come first as an educator. And so in any situation, there's definitely going to be a different emphasis. You have to know who your students are before you can effectively teach. And while students in an urban setting oftentimes might have to work in the evenings to help take care of family, for instance, in a rural setting, a lot of the students might have jobs after school. And so just understanding students' backgrounds, what their home lives might be like is extremely important. And also in mathematics, we like to show the application and utility of math. Yeah. And
you can provide different examples there.
Absolutely, right. So for a rural student, it might make a lot of sense to talk about calculating the area of farmland. And for urban students, that same example might not be meaningful. And so we do talk a lot about knowing your student population. And that's something that the mentor teachers from these high needs partner districts are really helpful with as well.
Now, our Barron students, those who are going to be, quote, NOICE scholars, they're going to work with mentors from our partner school districts and complete immersions. So tell us how that will work.
So the immersion experience is something that's in addition to the field experiences that we talked about earlier that all of our education majors would get. And this immersion experience will take place directly after a student's junior year. And that's prior to their first large field experience, which would occur the following fall. And this experience is really all about learning about the school climate, the school environment. It's an opportunity to learn about the student population, as we just discussed, without the pressures yet of lesson planning and teaching actual lessons, but really just immersing in the school culture and learning what it feels like in the different rural and urban settings.
This is beyond mathematics, right? So this is the social adjustment, the really understanding what's going on in the world and how you might have to relate to a different environment.
It's beyond mathematics, and it's also beyond what we can teach in a methods course, because it's really about being with people and learning what it's like in those experiences.
Now, the teachers who are in the school districts as well, there you've identified partners there. Do they get funding as well, those mentors?
They do. So each of the mentor teachers from our high needs partner districts will receive $1,200 per year for the 5 years of the grant for their role in supporting our NOICE scholars.
Okay, and you've already identified them. Or are you still looking for more mentors?
We are working with the school districts at this time to identify mentors within
their
buildings.
All right. Well, I'm sure people are going to be interested in doing this. Well, let's talk to you about, there's a lot to this. Another component of the grant is something known as the Aspiring Mathematicians Program. And I know you're particularly proud of this one. So tell me what happens in this.
I am. We're excited about this because this is our attempt at starting to look for new mathematics teachers within our local high need schools themselves. And so this Aspiring Mathematicians Program will bring students from the four high needs partner districts to our campus in their junior and senior years to take part in workshops that are being prepared by our math faculty at Penn State Barron. And these workshops are really focusing on highlighting what mathematics is and what sorts of careers one can pursue based on studying mathematics. And so while we hope that we might find a few teachers in the pool of students that we'll be bringing to campus, it's really a broader perspective of just helping students to see math as a discipline. We've always found that it's hard for someone with a high school background in mathematics to appreciate or to even begin to understand what studying mathematics might look like in college. And so we're hoping to provide a little glimpse of that.
Well, this really fits well with what we do here at Barron, which is so much STEM outreach, trying to introduce students to the different careers that are available to them. But like you say, in mathematics, it can be more of a challenge. So what are some of the things that you tell them, here's a career in mathematics that you may not otherwise have understood is out there?
This is a question we get a lot from students at open houses and when they're visiting campus, which is, I like math, but what can I do with it? Mm-hmm. And so what we're hoping to show through this program are the types of skills that you develop through mathematics. So the types of critical thinking, the problem solving, the analyzing, the ability to communicate, which mm-hmm. is something that we don't always associate with mathematics. And I think when students start to realize that mathematics develops all of those skills, they start to see why so many careers out there are well suited to somebody with a mathematics degree. And very few mathematics majors hold a job later with the title of mathematician.
Correct.
But yet they're doing all sorts of things.
Well, like you say, they develop critical thinking skills, how do you solve problems. I'm always impressed with the fact that the students in mathematics, you know, they work with our faculty on research, and they present that research every year at the undergraduate research conference right here on campus. And it develops that ability to present in front of a group and communicate your ideas. It's really quite significant. Let's talk about math phobia, right? So unfortunately, you know, I hear people make the statement, well, I'm not a, quote, math person. I don't even know what that means. You know, you're a person. You know, I don't know that you're a math person or a morning person or whatever else. How do you address that?
Right. This is a challenge that we face and that our pre-service teachers face as they enter classrooms. So it's a conversation that we have a lot within our math education program. And what I really like to try to focus on is that for some reason, it's not that math is hard that we get hung up on, but rather it's the fact that we think that if math is hard for us, that we're somehow not well suited for it. Mm-hmm. And so when I talk to my pre-service teachers about this and helping them work with students who have this phobia and think that because they struggle in math, they're not well suited, we talk about how in English, it's commonplace to expect to write rough drafts of a paper, mm-hmm. And that the first attempt is never the best. In computer programming, a part of that is debugging a program and looking for the mistakes and making it better. And so I think that where this phobia comes from in math is not that it's hard, but in thinking that if we experience challenges, we somehow can't do it, or that that's a bad thing, mm-hmm. when really it's just a natural step of the process of problem solving and coming to understand it better.
Is this unique to the United States, though? Is it something cultural here?
I think there is a cultural component. I'm not sure it's unique to the United States, but it seems as though we have a strong math phobia here. And I think oftentimes it does stem from the way we've learned it, in terms of we usually see the right solution in math classes, and we don't always get a chance to see our teacher work through attempts at wrong solutions. Mm-hmm. I've heard it described as we present the clean version of mathematics to students.
Right.
And so that's where something like this Aspiring Mathematicians program that allows students to see that really what mathematicians do is they struggle. They work their way through the messy parts until they get to the clean solution that we're used to seeing.
Well, we're getting close to the end, Dr. Nagel, Courtney. anything that you would like to add?
Just that we're really excited about the opportunities that this program is going to offer to our students, but more importantly, to the Erie area. We're really excited about the impact that it could have and hopefully encouraging future mathematicians and mathematics teachers in particular.
It is a great program, and I will just say it again for maybe anyone who joined us a little bit later. Dr. Nagel and her colleagues have secured a $1 million National Science Foundation grant to encourage students to go into secondary education in mathematics. We've got a great math program here. You tie that with the education piece. Our students come out with a phenomenal background and very competitive scholarship and program. So anyone who's interested, they should call us. They should let us know that they're interested. We'll be happy to get you connected.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great conversation. Thank you. Again, you were listening to Barron Talks on WPSE Radio, AM 1450, FM 107.1.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Join us again on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. for an encore presentation of the Business Spotlight.